Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network Science Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming science, knowledge, and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to broadcasting the sciences of life and the sciences of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you are being able to extract the very best the current 21st century has to offer. You are listening to the Dr. Jewel's Brain Balancing Program and more, with your host, physician and surgeon, microbiologist, preventive medicine and hygiene physician, and Surgeon General, Dr. Jewel Pooler.
Well, hello, everyone, and I'm back. We are back. TJN is back, and I'm here today with you talking about something that's very close to my heart. Since we haven't been broadcasting live for a little while here, one of the great discoveries, and I knew this a very long, long time ago, but one of the great discoveries that I've really figured it out is a key for us to have the high-quality life that was always promised to us, and to be able to have our health necessary. It's necessary for immortality, etc., and that is to learn and live by universal principles. So I'm here with you today, our universal principles show that I'm going to speak to you on, and I'm so excited about this. We have started a Universal Principle Support Group at the university, the Jewel University of Immortal Sciences for Immortal Living. And we ensure that we have a Universal Principle Support Group for you every Sunday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. And I tell you, the incredible progress that people are making, it is amazing, and it's wonderful because they are now changing, as all of us must change during this pole shift, from the inside out. So I'm so delighted that I have my co-host with me, an incredible being, lovely, wonderful soul, beautiful, beautiful person who is also very much present at the Jewel University and in my own energy medicine practice. And she is in training to have her own Universal Principle Support Group in her home state. And so without a further discussion, I call her Miss Felicia Mohammed, tell you a little bit about herself. And I'm very pleased that I have an intern in training who will be establishing her Universal Principle Support Group, and she very much is living the principles. That's a very important criteria for anyone who is going to take this information out into the world and help other people realign their thinking and their behavior by Universal Principle. So remember, we have our Georgia Universal Principle Support Group that meets on Sundays. We have our Universal Principle Support Group in Mount Vernon, Bronx, New York, that meets also on Sunday. So we are just spreading out around the country because everyone now in the 21st century is going to have to know universal principle. And if they are wise, and if they want to be here for a very long period of time in good health and looking beautiful, they will be living by universal principle. So welcome, Miss Felicia. How are you?
I am well, and thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for this opportunity. And it is such, I was like, who is she describing? Is that me?
Very much so. I mean, you know, you're one of the darlings here of the Jewel University. You know, just if I can just insert this very quickly, you know, we have people that they come to the school and they get on the balancing program and, you know, they finish the balancing program, but then they go away. We don't see them for a while, sometimes years. And then they come back, obviously, with, you know, an incredible story about what happened and they didn't know and what they learned. And then they, you know, come on back and they get in line to finish doing what? Learning how to use the brain that they have built
everybody assumes, oh, well, you know, I know, and they go through the process, but they don't know the new you that you discover when you have access to a full brain. It's like a blind person who now can see. It's like a deaf person who can now hear. And do they know themselves hearing? Do they know themselves now being able to see? Of course not. Everything changes. And so this is new for everybody, and it's like I got more brain power and I'm smarter and, you know, whoa, I can hear this. And then they just go back out into the world, and what do? They go back to their past. They don't go forward in the brain. Miss Felicia is a smaller population of individuals who come to the school. They basically really study and they really focus and they're just progressing. But most of all, they are consciously moving forward in their brain. So, you know, they come in and they're just vibracious and they're just absorbing all the information. But the thing that's so unique is that they are living it and they see the literal transformation in their own tissues. And so, you know, very quickly, she's earned the right to basically be here with us to help us, the world, expand our consciousness. And, you know, I'm honored to be able to have you as an understudy. So tell us about the things that you've done in life. You've done a lot of great things.
Yes, give thanks, and I am so grateful. So as Felicia Muhammad, I am committed to helping people understand who they are, why they're here, and can have fun doing it, you know, and have a healthy life and be on purpose, right? And obtain abundance as well, okay? So I've always been fascinated with the brain. And so it just made sense that on my journey, before I even knew anything about Dr. Jewel Pookrum, that it was inevitable that we would meet, because, again, I was always fascinated with the brain, wanted to learn, and always very introspective. And so with that being the case, I was always asking, send me, show me, why do I do this? What's my purpose? And I received answers. And so my journey has evolved where throughout the seeking and the searching, through being involved in the health and wellness, my own health and wellness, and helping my family with health and wellness, and now helping others with health and wellness and knowing their purpose in life, it's brought me now to the culmination where I'm able to succinctly be mentored by you, Dr. Jewel, who you've done the research, you've had the experiences and continue to evolve, and you're now able to help others so we don't have to make some of the same mistakes that you've made. And that has been a part of what I know my purpose is as well, to be able to reach out to those who are willing and ready. They know it's their time. They may not know how, but they know it's their time. And now we can connect and now begin to work together and expand and grow.
Well, I tell you, everything that you said is accurate relative to your behavior. So, you know, I can testify that your behavior definitely demonstrates the description of yourself and your behavior. And so without further ado, my dear listening audience, we're going to introduce you to our first principle for this Wednesday. So we'll be right back after this message. Get your pads and pencils out.
You are listening to the Jewel Network Science Radio Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network provides the neuronutrition and stimulates expansion and evolution of the human brain, nervous system, and body. Remember, our source is a neuron.
We're back, and do you have your pads and pencils out? And, of course, you know me. Your water should be there. The neurons are 80% water, and the more hydrated they are, the smarter you are, the faster you'll think, the memory recovery will be incredible. So water, not tap water, high quality clean water. If you can't do anything but have your Brita filtered water or your zero water filter. I like zero water filters.
Mm-hmm.
That is what you use. Do not do the tap water, please. Please, please. Every municipality has declared that they are not guaranteeing the quality of water that is coming out of your faucet, out of your shower, et cetera. And they do the best they can by keeping the large gross matter out of the water. But the particulate matter, and especially the amount of drugs in the water, et cetera, is astronomical. And so I don't even give my dog tap water. Okay, because I don't want him having a spell and deciding that he's going to bite me. Okay, because he's just all messed up with the, you know, anti-seizure medication and the high blood pressure medication and the result of residual insulin and so many drugs that are not completely metabolized in the human body. And with over 70% of the population on some type of medication, and the municipal water systems do not filter these drugs out. They tell you we can't do that because either your taxes are going to go sky high because we have to have an, you know, ultra filtration system. It takes a lot of power to force water through an ultra filtration system because it's very, 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 very small, the spaces they have to force that water through. So it has to have a pressure system and everything. And so, therefore, now we've got free water, but then how old is the piping system? And so, therefore, a lot of these municipalities are saying, okay, you know, we are not sending our water out to you in lead piping, okay? However, what's been laid out under the streets that get to you and your house, what is your piping system? And so, therefore, this is where you're picking up the lead poisoning. And unless you're filtering your water at the point where it comes into your house and getting the lead out of it as well as the drugs, it's a real problem. So we just have to make it simple. You have to filter all your water that you cook with, you drink with, make your beverages, et cetera, and even the shower heads. So pay attention to this. This is not the water we're talking about. We're talking about a glass of clean water. Even these plasticized or water packaged in plastic, if you're not aware of the type of plastic it should be and you know the coating on the bottles, it's poisonous. So this is a big issue. And please, I just have to say this, don't allow yourself to drink the water with the salt in it. They right on the back, they'll say that they've got sodium. Sodium is the word here. That's the natural Latin name for salt. And this has got sodium citrate and all these things on the water. Why would it have that in there? That is one of the salient and silent stimulators for hypertension. So when you buy the cheap water in the cheap plastic bottles, you'll have right on there that it's got salt added into it, sodium. No, 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 you don't drink that either. So every all bottled water is not healthy water also. So with us keeping the brain hydrated, we are going to talk about something that's very important here that has really been a problem. A very important universal principle that we're going to talk about today is self-love. Now, we may have to talk about that for a couple of shows because this is a deepie, and it's a heavy one. Okay, and everybody's love, 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 and you see it all written everywhere or whatever. Most people have really no idea about what that word is really about because it's a frequency and it's a consciousness that has to be generated from an awareness that this is what you are relative to yourself. And if you don't love yourself, then you saying love anything really is just words with very little meaning and very, very little power. So these words spoken from an individual who's still having issues about themselves, there's no way for an individual such as wonderful soul, as far as I'm concerned, Anthony Bourdain, all the things you've done, the places you've gone, all the wonderful people you've been living, what most people would think an incredible, loving life. But it didn't matter because it wasn't fulfilling to him because he came to this entire experience empty, without self-love. It's very important to get this. We have a serious problem with people and addictions.
Mm-hmm.
Why would somebody basically want to alter the function of their brain when they're not able to process the present reality? This reality is incredible. You have a fabulous body for you to be able to enjoy it, to see, to taste, to hear, to feel, to experience all that is around you. And you would actually dampen your capabilities to process this by drugs? Well, you might as well not have had a body. That's the whole point. And then that's why the body becomes dysfunctional, because you keep shutting it down, shutting it down. If you're having a love affair with yourself and you're recognizing the incredible opportunity that you have in having a body, that's the last thing that you're going to do, is basically want to shut your sensibility, your visual capabilities, your auditory capabilities, your kinesthetic capabilities, your capacity to meditate, and most of all, to create. You're not going to do that. Now, I hear the people out there, oh, no, my cocaine, it makes me do this. When I take cocaine, I'm this, okay. You know, and that's Prince's story. Okay, he's a very, very different person without the stimulation of drugs. But what does that say? That says that obviously there was a state of consciousness. We have to start with where things originate from in this dimension, the mind. And therefore, this perception from his mind continued to create distortions and deficiencies, first of all, about himself. And then from there, he then felt that he needed to have some type of stimuli to project himself in a way that innately just being in love with yourself would have been a natural for anybody. And so, you know, I'm sitting here and my voice may indicate that, you know, ooh, I've been doing this all my life, except, oh, no. No, I don't know any person who really has gone forth into this environment that usually started out with a clear appreciation of self, a very loving appreciation of self. Because when you are able to have the genuine quality of love that our source provides for us at all times, okay, the air, the water, the sun, the stardust under our feet. You may refer to it as soil, but it's stardust that's under our feet. Continuously, even regardless of what you say, of what you do, that is what we call unconditional love. And when a person can have unconditional love for themselves, yeah. Now that is a super person, because it's unconditional love that allows the tissues of the body to regenerate every nighttime, daytime cycle, to allow them to be patient, compassionate, kind, astute, generous, limitless in abundance and resources, etc. This is the type of love that our source provides for us. And so this, we have a great example of what unconditional love is about, but most people can't even grasp that because of this lack of this deep self-appreciation. And so we've all had our experiences with this, et cetera. And for those of us who have been able to move forward and grow forward in our brain, which means we now can process more of our mind, which is always the mind of the primal source, okay, the one source, the God of all things, whatever you may label it as, now you can begin to recognize that there's just certain things that to another human being, which is basically very much connected to you, whether you recognize it or not, you have a standard of how you treat them, how you approach them, regardless of what your language is and regardless of the philosophy that you may follow, known as a religion or, you know, a political affiliation. There's just a way that you are always going to conduct yourself because of this unconditional love and compassion that you have for yourself which then is reflected in how you interact with another you, another human being. So why are we talking about this? Because we have a great example here of what has happened here over the last 2 weeks, where children have been kept in pens because the parents in their mind are believing that they have to relocate for prosperity and abundance and the capacity to grow. And that is also a belief system. It's going to be interesting as we get into these principles, because you can be great and you can prosper and you can have the life you want anywhere on the planet. I want to bring this to your attention here. Saudi Arabia, okay, very interesting place. What do they have? Sunshine, sand, and then under the sand, oil. Okay, that's not a whole bunch of resources. But they are 100% appreciative for what they have. They are focused on what they have, and they have found a means of allowing those sparse resources on the desert to bring anything that they desire from any other place in the world to where they are to enjoy it. So now with the oil cartel, literally the streets were lined with gold, you know, very affluent society. They recognize, okay, our water stores are lowering, et cetera. Of course, we can, you can never exhaust the oil here that's on this planet. It just becomes much, much more difficult to get. But what is another resource that we have that is easy to get access to? And it's the water. So they're building all kind of resources on the water. So they got all kind of island homes, and they're building islands, and they're doing all kind of stuff by moving all the sand that they have from one location to another, and then expressing their creativity in a very, very sparse place like Saudi Arabia. So when you come into places where there's all kind of fauna, all kind of flora, etc., you can do anything right there. You don't have to move to another place outside of yourself. And this is why this is such a great testimony for us, because it's letting us know that it becomes very difficult to just jump up and move some other place. And it definitely, you know, totally uproots the children, the family, everything. And now with the family being divided, especially coming here to the United States, we see what happened in Europe. You know, Brexit, they just said, we're not going to be a part of the European Union because we don't want to have all these people come in, because that's what the union agreed to. And so all the countries are shutting down, and they're saying, no, you can't come here, you can't go here. What are they saying to? Is it a rejection? No, it's not. It's really a stimulus for these individuals to think about themselves and to think about the land that they've come from. Could a serious alteration in self-appreciation, in self-worth, self-esteem, which is all a part of self-love, allow them to see that they can have whatever they want under any circumstance, wherever they are? Listen to this very carefully. Nobody's talking about everything shutting down as a stimulus, a treatment for a large group of people who have not learned how to love themselves. You don't have to go any place to love yourself except inward.
Inward, yeah.
And when you go inward, you're going to find a whole world that, if you haven't addressed it, it's probably going to be quite empty and quite vacant. But if you fill it with the love of yourself, especially knowing the source that you've come from, I'm not talking about your mother, or your father, or, you know, what they had or didn't have. I'm saying, look at you, the majesty of yourself.
The majesty,
look at your hand,
yeah,
look at your feet,
yeah,
look
yeah.
at your eyeball, look at those eyelashes. Okay, you know, I wonder how many recognize women put all these eyelashes on and everything. I think it's beautiful. But do they understand the nature of the lash? you go and do the research on what a lash is. That's an awesome thing. Who and what could create something that we call a hair and then put it on the end of tissue and have it grow in a particular direction? And it actually is a natural sunglass. Sunglasses that people buy, it's a natural sunglass to filter that debris out. So if the wind blows in your face, doesn't blow all up in your eyes. It filters out the harsh rays of the sun so that the light refracts, so all of it doesn't go straight into the gentle retina of the eye. This is a natural sunglass. Who's thinking like that? This is how awesome you are if we want to just break it down. Miss Felicia, give us some examples of how you have experienced a shift in your life because you decided to, quote, love yourself and to groom that quality in you. Give us a little story here.
Okay. Well.
Let's say this. Okay. We have some callers on the line. So give us some keywords, and we're going to go to break, and then we can talk more, and then we're going to go to our lines. Okay. Give us some teasers real quick before we go to break.
All right. Loving yourself, being what you want to be for yourself before anybody else does. That what you expect in somebody else, be that for yourself first. What you choose to experience, have the experience with yourself first. Abundance is yours, and you can be grateful for the abundance of the blood flowing through your veins. And just think about how wonderful you are in that. So that self-love, really loving all of you, regardless to how bad you may have been in the past, because we're bringing you present time, loving every cell, every fiber, every tissue of who you are. Okay. So the self-love is the reference point for everything in our lives. The way you see yourself is more important. The way that you feel about yourself determines how you always have the relationship with yourself. So when we're blaming other people for stuff, we got to look at ourselves first. That's some courage. That takes some courage. And so the self-love, as you begin to nurture and look at yourself in the mirror, you begin to develop that courage within to look at yourself, okay? And so regardless to whatever else is present in your life, everything that is within your life is a reference point from you, okay? It reflects something that you want to take stock in and observe and be aware, and not from a place of judgment. And when you're able to do that, your life will change almost as if by magic.
Well, you know, this would lead you to understanding then what is the measuring point for how to see what it is that you have created in your life or have not created. And so, you know, at a later date, because that's a big one, purpose.
Mm-hmm. Purpose,
we have
yeah.
to talk about purpose because it's very difficult to love yourself and to really get aligned with yourself if you don't know your purpose. Now, there's a large group of people who just naturally just do what appears to be the right thing, okay? And there's really no such thing as right or wrong, but what they get involved in just seems to flow for them. And we call them usually unconsciously competent, that they don't know this is their real purpose, but it just feels good, it just comes easy, and they're just able to execute it. And so many people live their purpose and they don't even recognize it was their purpose. They just will say that they enjoy it. So thank goodness that those two characteristics, it feels good, we like to do it, it comes easy, usually are great indicators that you're already on purpose. But because you are a incredible being connected directly to the source of all things, you are responsible for knowing exactly what your purpose is. And that definitive awareness can only come from, again, you got to go within. And, you know, people are going to all the psychics and, you know, the astronomers and astrologers and all the people to try to tell them what they're supposed to be doing, because they still don't know how to go within. So we'll be right back. Our sponsors want to talk to you. We're talking about love today, loving yourself. It's a very, very important principle, self-love. So write that down on the notepads, etc. Take a drink to that of water and contemplate on that. Self-love. Am I loving myself? You know, I'm smoking my cigarette. I had an interlude with a woman earlier today who was smoking a cigar. And I was like, you know, very, very potent. And I don't think many people understand the nature of tobacco. I'm not going to go into that on this show. That's a whole different thing. But when we have these propensities, we have to look at why do we do them, and what is it that I'm doing this with? What is it that I'm doing this with? You know, we want to know about who's the person next door and who made this, whatever. But how many people know what tobacco is about? Because when you do the study on tobacco, especially the esoterica of tobacco, you have to back off of that. You have to back off of that, unless you're going to live a particular lifestyle that potentizes what that plant is for. That's why all the other indigenous and primal groups of people had a different relationship with tobacco. That's not something that you commonize. It's not something that you use on a regular basis because of the nature of that plant. And even the farmers will tell you it's so powerful. Check out what happens. They grow a crop of tobacco on the land. They can't grow anything else on it anymore. Amazing. Oh, yeah, Virginia got all kind of land available, and they can't grow anything on it anymore because it was tobacco territory. So they just give it away. So you can do all kind of things in it, but for another crop to come behind that, And so that's what I'm saying. Most people don't understand that it's something like that, that the earth is literally neutralized after it grows. What are you doing with that? So let's talk about self-love. When you love yourself, you have information. You have details about what you're doing. You get the info. So we'll be right back after this message.
What does the 21st century hold for you? The opportunity to create all you desire in this 21st century is awaiting you in Alaska. Come, join Dr. Jewel and the world-famous Stephanie South from the Law of Time in Anchorage in Fairbanks, Alaska, September 17th through September 23rd for a total life-transforming experience under the Northern Lights auroras. Visit www.juis.education or call 770-383-2112 for details.
Well, here we are. We're back. So before we go to the phone lines, I just want you to have this formal information on this self-love, because the way we see ourselves, and more importantly, the way we feel about ourselves, determines how we experience life. The drama queens. Oh, I don't like her. And oh, look at her. And look at this. And, you know, did you see that? You know, we're getting bombarded with that on these reality shows, etc. What you're seeing is a swirl of lack of love of self. So it's always the issue around, well, she just disrespected me and do this, and we no self-love there. No self-love. It's very important. So again, more importantly, the way we feel about ourselves determines how we experience life. There's a couple of those personalities in some of those housewives shows. Always the victim. Always angry. Always want to gossip. Always want to attack someone else. And, you know, I think as far as showing the dilemma of how we withhold love from ourselves, they are fabulous teachers, that they are literally dramatizing and making sure that we see the depth of how much pain we're in. We want to strike out at other people. They're jumping over tables and throwing cocktails in each other's faces and tearing the clothes off each other. It's a lot of anger because they are mad inside with everyone, including themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, they can't come to interaction with anyone else because this anger is raging. There cannot be peace with them at all until they decide that they don't have to be angry, that they don't have to be fearful anymore. Now,
right.
some of them are,
right.
have tried to go and get some help, et cetera, but what I see with these psychological, social methods is that they don't teach the individuals how the universe thinks. Teach them how the plants think, the table, the chair. All of these things that we create have all been created from the foundation of universal principle. Now, many of them probably wouldn't believe that the chair that they sit in, that the dress that they put on is conscious. They wouldn't believe that. Because, again, when you're so full of this aggression, this anger, when you feel so empty inside, so depressed inside, you're not good enough, you know. I can't do this, I can't do that, you know. He doesn't treat me right. The job isn't what I want. You can't hear anything else or anyone else because that's all that's being spoken from your personality to your brain that you think is coming from your mind all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you ask mm-hmm. these people to sit down and let's have a discussion about the anatomy here, your anatomy, what and where is the personality located? Where is your emotional body? Okay, where is your mind? Now, what does that have to do with your brain? And what does that have to do with your soul, the source of all things, and your spirit? The individuals cannot have a literary, definitive discussion on these attributes of themselves because they haven't taken the time to sit down and study this aspect of self. So they have a little bit of knowledge about this. Well, I don't know. The church says this. Well, my mother used to say that. And, you know, they really don't know. They don't know their own what we call subtle structure. You're a multidimensional being. Your emotional mm-hmm. body isn't physical. Your mind is not physical. Your soul is not physical from the sense that you can touch it like you touch your knees, but is a very powerful force field of energy, which is why
mm-hmm.
you're able to animate this body so that you can tell it to sit down or stand up or walk,
right.
okay,
right.
or slide.
Yeah.
It's a very
yeah.
powerful force. Many people are thinking that the soul is up in the sky somewhere. You know, many people, you ask them about the soul, they're looking up in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
They don't recognize that they are it, okay?
Right.
They
right.
are it. And so this illiteracy of the architecture of how you've been created brings so many problems at the physical level because we're not understanding the exquisiteness of how we've been created. That spirit and attitude, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we see these beautiful women, I tell you, I've seen so many beautiful women on these TVs, amazed at the beauty. To me, beauty is symmetry. Beauty is proportionality. Beautiful. When we use calipers, okay, to measure distance between one object and another, that geometrical conformation that's made is what beauty is to the human brain, because the brain is attracted to geometry, geometric symmetry. That's what makes us decide if something is, as they say, comfortable to the eye,
mm-hmm.
a relief to the eye, or harsh mm-hmm. on the eye. We're looking at that geometric symmetry.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we know that. You know, you can go look at that TV show, Botched. Be sure the surgical TV show, Botched. And they show you how these incidents have happened to people. And or either they even created themselves trying to make themselves look better or be better.
Mm-hmm.
And it was botched. So they go from surgery to surgical, cosmetic procedure, whatever, to get themselves straightened out. And it just it gets worse and worse. It's amazing. Okay. I'm laughing because I'm just thinking about some of these series that they presented on the TV where these people are botched. And we say they're botched. Why? Because they have lost the geometric symmetry. And so therefore we say, oh, it's unsightly, or we think it's ugly or whatever, but the geometry has been disrupted. So how many are able to see beauty based on the mathematical geometric configuration? Because that's what really determines it. Okay, it's not the eyelash or the mascara per se, or the eyebrow, okay, or the contact lens, or the lipstick color. It's the symmetry that we are continuously creating with these tools that enhances the geometry, the natural proportionate beauty of how things are positioned in space.
Mm.
And see, when you take the time to just sit and observe and listen and watch, see, that is the you inside this body now really seeing what is real, feeling what is really the result of seeing what you see. The body registers all that for you. But if you're not going in and just observing and you're so busy trying to drown out what you do feel, you're not going to find your way through this. So I see so many people, they're just treading water and just going nowhere. And for those of you who are swimmers, you know that, you know, you got to be strong to tread water for long periods of time. Okay, it takes a lot of energy to be vertical in the water. Okay, treading water. You're not going with the flow. Okay, you're trying to stay in one position with water that is constantly having a direction, a movement, even though it may be real subtle. And you're going against all that force. You got to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why most people feel their life is so hard, because they're treading water. They're going against the flow of everything, and most of all their own. So, again, it says here, we are always having a relationship with ourselves, regardless of who else or what else is present.
Mm-hmm.
No one and no thing is really separate from us. So all this arguing and bickering and fighting and whatever else, you really have shut down that you don't see the relationship with yourself. And it may be a relationship where for your purpose and for your growth and development, the occupation of the same space may not be possible. But there should be no, look up that word, E-N-M-I-T-Y.
Enmity.
Because you're not enmity, right? It's because you're not in the same space. Okay? No love for that. No need for that. So our belief in separation is a perceptual distortion, a projection of our unwillingness to love the wholeness of ourself just the way we are.
We are. Yes. Wow.
Just the way we are. So this is very important. So let's go to Lauren's engineer. Let's see if anyone else has anything to share with us about loving yourself.
Caller 783, you are unmuted. Do you have a question? Caller 783, do you have a question? We go to the next caller. Caller 383, you are unmuted. Do you have a question? Caller 383, you are unmuted. Do you have a question? Okay, we will go to the next. Caller 235, you are unmuted. Do you have a question? Caller 235. Okay. Let's go. Caller 603, you are unmuted. Do you have a question? Nobody has a question.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's so interesting, because we see all these people on the line, and you've been holding. Some people have been holding a long time, and they're not there. You know, so I see a few others on the line. You want to, let's see if we can talk to them. Maybe 783, caller 783. Are you there?
I'm sorry. Hello.
Okay. Greetings. How are you? Welcome.
Greetings. How are you? I'm fine. I was just listening. I didn't have a question yet.
Oh, okay. All righty. Okay. Well, kiss the baby for me. Thank you for calling and listening.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Okie dokie. All right. Caller 383. Caller 383. Hi. How are you? Do you have a question? Do you have anything to share? Okay.
Greetings. I was just listening, but I can share something.
Okay.
And ask a question. Uh-huh.
Okay.
When we are beginning this journey of really, 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 truly understanding and loving ourselves, how deep do we really, really, really have to go, Dr. Jewel and Miss Felicia? Is it deep enough to where we have to just go within the number of years we've actually been on this planet, or is it deeper? Do we have to search so deep into ourselves to actually really get a full glimpse of the love of ourselves? That's my question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling. I'll answer that, and then this, Ms. Felicia, I definitely want you to share your perspective from your position that you're in now. It's very important, and this is why at the university, I just love that university, Jewel University of Immortal Sciences, because we make it very clear how important it is for you to learn how to be in the present. And we say that's important because you have existed since the beginning of all existence.
Mm-hmm.
So how many centuries is that? How many millenniums have you existed? Well, we've existed since the beginning of everything. And so as we teach, you have a database, an archive in the back of your brain, in the cerebellum, that carries 10 million years of information about you right now. And so in that archive is alive and well right now, adding on to its database every moment, because everything you do and say is being recorded. Well, where do you think a film camera come from? The film strip. It's actually an externalization of how the cerebellum records your perception of your experiences here in this dimension. And it's folded up on itself, you know, like what we call microflesh. Very small space, et cetera, and it's all back there for you to go and review it if you choose. So if you want to go back into your life 10 million years, because you can, it's right in the back of your head, you have to go and be quiet and go within to do that. And just like any library, you go to one of the libraries I always like was the main library in Chicago. Chicago Main Library, downtown in Grant Park. Fabulous library. Beautiful. It's huge. And so, like for anything else, how are we going to use this library? Millions of books. In the present, and with the information we want to know about how to master the present, we go into the library. And so that is the information that we want to know about. How can I master the present? What do I need to know to master the present? How do I need to change to master the present? And I may have to go back to a very ancient old archive, but I may be able to get the answer right there in the magazine rack in the front of the library, based on purpose. And so we didn't talk about that today because this is the key. Self-love is what we're speaking on right now. But self-love, to have its potency, has to be associated with the sense of purpose of the individual. And it is that sense of purpose. Why are you here? What is it that you want to do while you're here? Why did you come here? What was the contract? Your body was built under contract. Obviously, because you look around, there nobody else's body is like yours. Maybe similar, but even the twins who are allegedly identical are not absolutely identical. So therefore, your purpose, different than everybody else's purpose, or it could be that there are other millions of people that have the same purpose, but you need to know that. So we want to start with the issue at hand. Is the issue at hand because you don't know your purpose? And then if you don't know your purpose, then that's where you want to spend the time. Then from there, once you spend the time getting that information, it will then reveal itself to you. So it's not about necessarily going deep and, you know, making this a arduous task. It's about staying in the moment to be able to master the moment, which then will allow you to be able to master your future. So, wow, it's getting so close to time for us to close out. But I want to thank you, Ms. Mohammed. Can you give me about a minute of what you think about this question that she asked? Do you have to go way deep and way in the past?
No. I can bring it right present, because how I met my husband, I started with me. I was being who I wanted to be. I expected myself to be able to have a mate. So when I looked at what I wanted a mate, I began to be that for myself. And so that goes back to our point of how you, the way you see yourself. So if you're dissatisfied with yourself right now, do the opposite. Start being the opposite of what you are now, with the intent
there,
of self-love.
Yeah, because you you'll automatically gravitate to yourself what you want if you become that.
Mm-hmm.
So all you have to do is just be what you want. Be what you want. It'll come to you. It'll just walk up to you, call you on the phone, everything. So I think we should probably do another week on this. Self-love, loving oneself. But just very quickly, please visit us at juis.education, www.juis.education, because we want you to join us in Alaska. You want to know about self-love. You want to know about all these different things that are available to you. You want to align yourself with your planet that's changing its frequency. You want to be in sync with her. You want to come and be one of the first people to absorb the information coming from beyond the ninth dimension and many star systems away to activate our DNA. And this is what the auroras are here for. This is how information from other star systems, from other galaxies, keep planet Earth updated. It is the auroric energy that does it. Information in color is information. See, people don't know this kind of physics yet. That's why you want to come to the university to get clear on that. So that's going to be happening the 17th through the 23rd. Our master teacher and geomancer that will be with us, from the Law of Time, Stephanie South, fabulous writings, etc. Our classes have started already to prepare you for Alaska in September. So please email us, let us know. If you want to be involved, we'll tell you what's necessary. You got to bring that brain online. The more brain tissue you have, it's much easier to navigate this planet and our solar system. So there's a lot of things going on. Join us. And one more thing. Guess what? We have 10 days where you can write your future. Write your future where? In the cosmos. That's correct. Not just by the Gregorian calendar, one day a year. Okay? No. We have something known as portals. Portals where information can be sent to every area of the cosmos and information can be gathered from any area in the cosmos. You can know whatever you want to. So those portals, when they open, they're called galactic activation portals. We have 10 that will be opening, 10 portals. For 10 days, those portals will be open for people to create their destiny, to create their future. So tomorrow morning, starting at 6 a.m., you can join us. We'll bring our brain online by using geometry. And then from there, you will be informed about what the purpose for the portal is for that day, and then you can write down what you want to experience in your future, and then we will sit for 10 minutes and you will then see that and project it into the portal, the cosmos, and then it's done. You have to have a destiny to pull you forward, and you have a destiny by doing what? By creating one.
Creating,
that's what most people don't understand. You must create your future. Because if you don't, then someone else is going to create it for you. And you don't want that. You want your future, so then create it. So join us in the morning at 6 a.m. You can go to our website or you can call us. You can just write us quickly at scheduling@juis.education. Scheduling@juis.education. So it's time for us to say bye-bye. We love you.
I love you.
Thank you so much, dear Miss Felicia. I'm so glad
that you're
my sidekick studying all this. And we look forward to, after you master all this, that you'll be opening Arizona wide open. So
yes, thank you.
Write us and join us in the morning, 6 a.m. to begin to write your future for the next 10 days. And I'll be back on Monday. Love you very much. Miss Felicia, you want to say goodbye?
Namaste, Ashe, Hotep, greetings, Assalamu Alaikum.
Wow, I love it.
She's multilingual.
Universal. Yes, universal.
Yes.
Universal.
Yeah.
Okay, 6 a.m. now. Let's
Thank
see you
for
you.
Listening
Let's
to the Juul Network Science Broadcasting Frequency. Join Dr. Juul here each Monday at 5 p.m. on the Juul Network, hosted by thejuulnetwork.com and Juul University of Immortal Sciences for Immortal Living, Juis. For our complete broadcast schedule, additional information, and to purchase products, please visit our website, www.thejuulnetwork.com. If you'd like to contact us, please send your email to info@thejuulnetwork.net. Thank you.